Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore,
I like this one.
This is the Donald.
Oh, this is that. Yeah. Donald Glover, college champion.
Yeah.
No relation to Danny Glover.
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of, so maybe.
Somewhere down the line, perhaps.
Maybe. All right, welcome back to ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Find me on my socials. Just type in Kunkel. There ain't nobody else. That's the only one you got to follow. Follow me on social media and subscribe to the channel, Kicking It with Kunkel. 97.5, 92.5 ESPN Radio until noon. Then we'll get you out to Rich Eisen as he takes over for the rest of the day and hit up the text line, 713-780-3776. Talking about the Texans' offensive line and how good they've really been, or have they really been as good as we might feel they have been because the results on the field are starting to show up, at least offensively. So quarterback pressures allowed against the Colts is now out. They allowed 9 quarterback pressures. Pretty solid. But the pressure rate is fine for this group, but it's certainly nothing to be really proud of, 32.1%. So they allowed a pressure rate, 32.1%. What does that mean? Every time C.J. Stroud dropped back, 32% of the time he had pressure in his face. It was 33% against the Bills. It was 25.6% against the Titans. So maybe we're starting to kind of meet a middle ground or an area here where that's where the Texans might live. Because you got games like the Jaguars, 50%, bro, unacceptable. Can't be living and winning games like that. Hence, they lost that game, 36-29. That was in week 10. No, wait, this thing is wrong. They won that game, right, Mapes?
Which one?
The Jaguars game in week 10.
Jags, yeah.
Yeah, they okay, mm-hmm. this website wrong. I'm like, wait, that's a win. But nonetheless, 50% is no way to win football games. I think the offensive line is starting to figure out who they are as a group, what they do well, what they don't do well, and they're starting to play football, you know, behind that success rate and doing the things that they do well versus, for instance, running the ball 4 straight times up the middle against the Broncos trying to score a touchdown on the goal line while they had 1 rushing touchdown in the entire season, and trying it 4 times is insane. Like, I know you want to be a physical team, but you're not a physical team. But now they're becoming more of a physical team in different ways, like getting the ball to Nico Collins on that end around play, which, by the way, not a reverse, I believe. I believe that is not a reverse because the reverse means it's going right and then it comes back left. He fakes the handoff on the inside and it comes around to Nico Collins. That is technically an end around. It is not a reverse. I was very disappointed in J.J. Watt. Hall of Fame. Ring of Honor, one of the best players of all time, called it a reverse. It's not a reverse. It's an end around. A reverse is when it goes left and then it goes right. You feel what I'm saying, Mapes?
No, I get it. I get it. There's a level of misdirection that needs to happen.
Yeah, there's a level of reversal.
Yeah.
There's no reverse. It's the guy on the end or whoever coming around, an end around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could call it maybe a jet sweep, but I think that's more indicative of the
running back. Yeah. Jenner, that's more like flex and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's an end around. not a reverse. I hope you guys get it, and I hope you guys see the difference.
Hey, JJ, always room for improvement. Even after we thought he had a good game. You'd rather do that after a good game than a bad game, JJ, even as a commentator.
A lot of people on my social medias right now asking, is Nick Caley going to be back next year? And I think I have firmly always said that you want him back next year. Not that he should be back, but I think that you want him to be able to come back. Like, you want Nick Caley to have figured it out, that you have your answer and you have your system in place going into next year. The last thing you want to do is fire another OC, likely fire offensive line coach, likely have to get rid of Gerard Johnson as your QB coach, because if you bring in a new OC, you have to let him bring his staff with him. What happened this offseason was you get rid of Bobby Slowick, you get rid of your offensive line coach, Chris Strausser, you keep your assistant line coach in Cole Popovich, you keep your QB coach in Gerard Johnson, so you kind of like hodgepodge it and put it together a little bit, like a little bit of a smorgasbord buffet, if you will, of who was here, who wasn't here. It wasn't a clean sweep. So if you get rid of Nick Caley, you're going to have to replace almost everybody, unless you're really gung-ho of keeping whoever it is that might be. Ideally, you go into OTAs in the offseason and minicamp with your system in place, because it took all of OTAs without C.J. Stroud, by the way, who had a shoulder injury, to install the offense, and then into minicamp, and then into training camp, and then you look good in that one preseason game, which fooled my ass about how good this offense could be, because they put some really good things on paper or on film against the Panthers in that preseason game. And I said, all right, I've seen enough. The offense should be competent enough. Like, you don't need to play anybody else throughout the preseason. And I wonder when that's going to start changing, when teams are starting to install their offenses, starting to take preseason more seriously, starting to use preseason to get good at football so that you can hit the ground running. Imagine if the Texans went in to week 1, 2, and 3 with some really good football put on film, more than just a drive like they did against the Panthers, and they felt more confident and they knew what they could and couldn't do once they hit the field in week 1, 2, or 3. They win one of those games. They beat either the Rams, Buccaneers, or Jaguars, if they took the preseason more seriously. And I'm not suggesting they didn't take it seriously compared to other teams. Like, nobody takes it seriously. You use it to get quasi back into football shape, but everyone's so damn concerned with the injury aspect that if you get injured in preseason, the questions and the knives and the pitchforks will be out. Like, there's no way you can explain why you started C.J. Stroud all 4 quarters in week 2 of the preseason. Except you can. We're installing a new offense. And now maybe D'Amico Ryans or whatever coach can point to the Texans and say, hey, man, like, that offense, if they got humming a little bit faster, man, that Texans, they're the number one seed in the AFC South. They're the number one seed in the AFC. They're having 2 home games. They put themselves in position to have success late in the season because of how seriously they took the preseason. And they may not be for everybody. Like, if you have a 6-year offensive coordinator, a 6-year quarterback, you don't need to take preseason that seriously. You don't need to play that much. But maybe the Texans should have done that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking outside the box. But should Nick Caley return? Should Nick Caley be the offensive coordinator next season? Like I've maintained, I think you want him to be, because if he is, that means he's figured it out. And I think we're still in that area. I think he'll be back next year. That's my, unless things get progressively worse down the stretch, which there's no real signs of that at this point. There were signs of that last year with Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick, starting from that the Texans' second half of the season, in the second half, was horrendous offensively. They couldn't score a touchdown in several games in the back half of the year. And I remember when they scored a second-half touchdown against the Cowboys, we were in the locker room talking to the guys, and it was like such a forced offensive touchdown. They were up big time. They didn't really need to do it, but they really had to get that monkey off the back, which I understand, but they had some fake-ass second-half touchdowns. So I don't see that happening with Nick Caley at this point. I really think he's starting to figure out how to call plays well, who to utilize and have success offensively, except for the one thing I pointed out yesterday. Get the damn ball to Woody Marks in the passing game. The guy was a very good back receiving back in college. He went for over 1,500 yards over 5 years between Mississippi State and USC. He has the ability to do so. Use it. It's not like you can't. It's not like you have an offense where, well, there's only one ball. So, you know, we got to get the ball to all the other playmakers we have. You don't. It's not that type of offense. You know, more people can eat in this offense. There's more room for improvement, as D'Amico Ryan said yesterday at the podium, saying that his biggest takeaway was that there's more room to improve. So get the ball in the Woody Marks' hands out of the backfield from a passing standpoint. But I think Nick Haley's back next year. That's where my money would be. Whether or not it's the right call, I guess we'll find out. But I think he shows enough. I think he grows enough. But I just hate the fact that he had to learn on the job in the middle of a season, or to start the season and throughout the season, in an 18-game, you know, schedule. This isn't the NBA or Major League Baseball where you have time to kind of learn on the job. And this is a team that the standard and the expectation was to compete for a Super Bowl, to be one of the better teams in the NFL. It wasn't to, like, just kind of be alive and be around and see what you got going next year. That's not the idea. That's the idea for the Giants right now. The Giants right now are in a situation where they fire everybody, and now Mike Kafka, see what you got, and use Jackson Dart and see what you have for next year. And that was probably kind of the goal going into the year, honestly, even though that's more the goal now. The Texans were not. No, this is our window. This is our time. The bigger question is Nick Caserio, of course, the general manager. But every time I mention Nick Caserio, I want to be fair and say that D'Amico Ryans has as much, if not more, say over the roster. So if the offensive line is your biggest concern and how it was addressed, then you got to put that on D'Amico's shoulders as well. But also, do you like Jaden Higgins? Do you like Jalen Noll? Do you like the defense that they constructed? The one thing is the offensive line. And one, it's the evaluation process, not only in the offseason, but during the season. How in the hell do you start City So? How in the hell do you come to the conclusion mid-season that that's your best option? It was such a bad decision that 9 plays into the game, they took him out and didn't play him anymore. That's how bad it was. It wasn't like, oh, you know, give him a half, give the other guy a half. Nah, it was such a stupid decision that it was scrapped in 9 plays. And like I said, I don't know if you give him more credit for scrapping it after 9 plays or worse, more criticism for thinking that a play or that an idea that lasted only 9 plays was worth a whirl in the NFL in what was that, week like 10?
Yeah, it was the Jags game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever week it was. It wasn't week 2.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a good week of practice. Bro, I can have a good week of practice. We're talking about practice.
The 9 plays to me is the worst part, where it's like so clearly like, oh, whoops.
No.
It turns out a week of practice isn't.
It's almost like they had 2 guys named City So and they picked the wrong one. Like, oh, no, not that one.
Or, yeah, they wrote down the jersey number. So, oh, 62. And it's like, no, wait. Or is it 68?
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't remember. We got to start them now. Like, can't go back on
yeah,
it now.
Yeah.
Texans had 24 first downs in the Colts game to start to move the ball really well. Again, that third down conversion rate, 46%, 6 of 13, and then defensively just playing really dang good. And they're starting to have a really balanced – they dominate the time of possession. The time of possession wasn't as lopsided in this game as it has been in past. It was 35 minutes to 25 minutes. It's a good disparity, don't get me wrong. But it was the offensive plays. They were in 20 more plays than the Colts. And the Colts, let's not forget – the best offense in the NFL. They ran 51 plays in this game. The Texans ran 71 plays in the game. And that's the goal. That is the goal of this offense. Yes, you want to start punching the ball in a little bit more, which they did twice in this game, especially once you get into the red zone. But the goal is to stay on the field if you're the offense, because you're going to win games by your defense. And that's what you want to do coming up against the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Man, damn hornet's nest, though. Gives me pause when it comes to picking the Texans. I'll give you my pick on Thursday. I will not be here on Friday. The boys are actually going to be out at East River 9. I was there on Friday. That place is a great time to host, great place to host the show, especially when the sun sets, the skyline, the golf course, great place to hang out. By the way, this Friday from 11 to 3, we're going to have that broadcast hosted by Glenn Davis at East River 9. Glenn is going to be breaking down where each country's soccer team is headed this summer. It is the must-watch groups and which countries will be playing in Houston. You can tune into the draw this Friday, 11-3. That's why I won't be on the air. We're going to have Glenn Davis taking you guys around the world of soccer. The draw is presented by D&M Leasing, home of the Easy Lease. No way we get America here. Is there, Mapes? Do you even know anything about soccer?
Very little.
Is Dell a soccer guy?
Yeah. Dell's into soccer. He can talk
anything about soccer.
Talk footy.
I love USA soccer. I don't know. I know we suck. We always suck, and we're not going to win anything. But
it's like being an underdog. You know, it's like rooting for like an underdog college program, where it's like, I hope one day we just kind of figure it out.
Yeah, I hope one day we can put it all together and beat a good team.
Yeah, but generally, the U.S. doesn't play in Houston or anywhere like in the South, basically, because when they play like Mexico or Costa Rica or like anywhere locally, like it kind of gets overrun. So they have to play in like Chicago.
Yeah, we're going to play. I wonder if they'll play. Maybe, I mean, I don't know if Kansas City can handle that type of crowd. Maybe they can.
Yeah.
Because I think they have, first of all, they have an unbelievable soccer fan base in Kansas City. Is all that sound coming from outside?
Yeah. I'll close.
Is there no damn respect for the Del Olalea show filling in Will Kunkel here? The hell? Who's out there? Who's hanging out? Come on in. Show your face. They got food? Wait, do they have food?
Yeah. I didn't check.
Is it Taquerias Arandas?
I hope it is.
That's why I love filling in for Lance and John when I get to. Although, I can't fill in for both of them. But.
Yeah. Lance or John.
When Lance is here, he usually gets all the food from Taquerias Arandas.
Mm.
And it's amazing. Dale gets no damn food.
No.
There's a vending machine.
There is a vending machine.
It sucks. It's a bad vending machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially once it runs out of Snickers. I think Snickers is like the only thing that everyone here gets, and so it runs out super fast.
It's the only thing that can really like quench your hunger.
Satisfying.
Is a Snickers. What was that old? We're going to take a break here. We're getting off track.
Snickers. We'll break it soon.
That old commercial, though, like, well, you're not yourself. Yeah,
you're not yourself when you're hungry.
All right, Will Kunkel filling in for Dell here on his show today until noon. Make sure you guys check out Glenn Davis, though, by the way, on Friday at East River 9. Go out there, have a beer, hit a couple golf balls, play some pickleball. Maybe I'll go out there and have a couple beers and then hit some golf balls into the bar. Have a good time and hang out. We'll be right back after this in a couple minutes.
The Del Olalea Show continues. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
What up, Houston? Dell is out nude sunbathing across the city today. Will Kunkel filling in for Dell. Dell, appreciate you allowing me to do so and take your show hostage. You can find me on all the social medias, TikTok, Instagram, X, and most importantly, subscribe to my channel on YouTube, Kicking It with Kunkel. Let's talk this Lane Kiffin deal. What a friggin' mess. First of all, Lane being Lane. Here's my overall thought on this. If Lane wants to go to LSU, fine, so be it. That's his right. That's his prerogative. He's earned the ability to do so. He's one of the most sought-after coaches in college football. Fine. But, like, the way he goes about it is always really annoying and it's really obnoxious. And then you parlay that. I don't know if this is true or not, but then there were screenshots from all these girls from Ole Miss last night from him texting them and hooking up with them while he's there. Like, what a scummy dude if that's true. Allegedly, if that's true. But all that aside, this isn't really Lane's fault. Like, what do you want him to do? Just completely not go to LSU if that's what he wants to do? This is a lack of leadership. This is what happens when you have piss poor leadership on college football. The NCAA offers absolutely nothing for college football at this point. They are a glorified party planning committee in all of their major sports. That's what they do. They don't do scheduling. They don't hold anybody accountable for anything. They don't have rules. They don't have boundaries. They're not the voice of reason. They don't do anything for college basketball or college football. They plan a hell of a tournament for basketball. They are a party planning committee. And that's what they do with football. They host great events. They coordinate them well. They do a really good job with that stuff. So I want to give them credit where credit is due. But they are in this mess where the transfer portal opens right after the new year on January 2nd for college football. The playoffs are happening while that's happening. LSU doesn't have a coach. They need their head coach come that time. They need coach now for recruiting purposes. So what do you want Lane to do? Just sit back? He tried to do it all. Like, that dude needs to know, like, bro, if you're going to leave, leave. If you're going to stay, stay. Stop being so arrogant and so naive to the situation that you think you can be the head coach of two SEC schools at the same time. Stop. He wanted to accept the job at LSU and coach his players all at Ole Miss in the playoffs. You can't do both. But it's not entirely his fault, to be fair. The calendar is so screwy. It's completely FUBAR at this point. It makes no damn sense that why can't they just follow the model of the NFL? You can't coach. You can't talk to a coach. You can't talk to players. No players are available until the season's over. It doesn't seem that hard of a concept to figure out. If you're LSU and you give this guy multi-millions of dollars, obviously you want him in your building now. Get your ass in here. Start recruiting. Hit that transfer portal. Let's get to work. Put your coaching staff together. So now he's going to pull coaches, presumably from Ole Miss, to follow him to LSU. Do we know if anybody is transferring from Ole Miss to LSU at this point before the playoffs?
No players so far have announced that they plan to transfer.
When does that have to be declared? Like,
They moved it to January.
January 2nd.
Yes.
But when do they have to make the decision?
I think January 2nd.
Stop.
Yeah.
No. Why?
You'll still see like reports of guys who plan to enter the portal, but it's always couched as they plan to enter the portal. It's not they are in the portal. You know, it's a little like the NBA free agency where it starts, you know, a month before it actually starts.
Well, the deadline for entering the portal is January 16th. It opens on the 2nd.
So you have the 2-week window to put your name in, basically.
Teams in the national championship game will get an additional 5-day window from January 20th to 24th.
That's nice. How nice of them.
Players have 15-day window to enter the portal starting 5 days after a new coach is hired or announced. But the main window is January 2nd to the 16th. Yeah. So I guess if Lane Kiffin say that he wants, I don't know, 6 players from Ole Miss, can he can save roster spots at LSU for them. They don't have to commit and leave Ole Miss during the playoffs and go become an LSU player.
Exactly.
The offseason.
They don't have to, but I think they could if they want, you know, if they can. If they really want to just bail on a college football playoff team, like they theoretically could do that, but I don't really expect them to do that.
Assuming Lane would.
Yeah.
No, if Lane wants player XYZ, he'll guarantee their spot.
Yes. And the idea of if you're Lane Kiffin and you made this dog and pony show about how I want to finish out the Ole Miss season, you can't really then take the players and disrupt the Ole Miss season as it's still in progress. Coaches, I guess, is a little different. There are coaches that, you know, did the thing where it's like, hey, I have a plane out front. If you get on that plane with me, like, you're part of the LSU staff. If you're not, you're part of the Ole Miss staff.
He denied that.
Yeah, but there were, whatever, 5 or 6 guys that he is taking with him.
Yeah, which...
I don't know if he gave him an actual ultimatum, but there are guys that will be leaving.
What a dumb-ass system, though. What a dumb... Like, as much... as like, Lane Kiffin is hardly, like, blameless in regards to the dog and pony show, as you said. Like, he definitely brought a whole bunch of this on him.
It's a little unique to not like the system as a whole, but like making it as messy as possible is Lane Kiffin.
Someone said, and it's exactly perfect, Lane Kiffin is the only guy that can burn a bridge while standing on it. He's the only guy that can try to burn this damn bridge while standing on it, wanting to be the... He wants to take the moral high ground of, I want to stay with my guys. He said at his press conference at LSU, he said, I did everything I could to try to stay with my guys and coach. Not everything.
Yeah, you could just keep going.
You could have just stayed.
Or tell LSU to wait.
But to be fair, like, that's crazy.
No,
that's stupid that he would have to tell LSU to wait, but or LSU has to wait.
To me, it's just as crazy as what he did or tried to do and tell Ole Miss to, yeah, I'm leaving, but let me coach your guys.
It's way worse that he tried to tell Ole Miss, like, no, yeah. I'm going to still coach. And so what you're telling me is that you want to coach our team to win a national championship, all the while going to take our coaches and players to with you from LSU and recruiting around the country against us while you're our head coach and the head coach from LSU?
Yes. And never mind the fact that you'll be, you know, coaching our players that you could take from us. Like, you could pillage our roster, yeah, while you're still the head coach of our team. Like, there's no way that they're ever going to let them do that. You know, it's a different situation with the guys in the G5 schools that leave, because, you know, you're not literally in the same conference as the school you're leaving to. But for Lane Kiffin to even, like, to attempt this is, I think, unique to Lane Kiffin.
But here's one thing I will say, maybe in defense of Lane Kiffin. Maybe he's playing chess, not checkers, and he's really, truly, the intent was to expose the system for as stupid and as fraudulent as it is. Yeah. Because he truly, like, that's what happened most coming out of this. When you go into something and something like this, you want to be able to take something out of it and figure out how you can get better, especially if you're college football right now. Realize that this situation, this calendar, is a damn joke, and Lane Kiffin exposed it entirely.
Yeah, yeah. No, the root issue is, like, you have to either separate from, like, the transfer portal from the actual semesters, you know, where it's like, hey, you know what? I know this doesn't happen for, like, real students, but you can just transfer in March or whatever and, you know, be there in time for spring practice, but you're not actually enrolled in classes. Like, I think that would be the way to do it. Just like, hey, guys, like, they don't have to actually be in classes to practice.
Not only that, you don't have to, like, get that whole offseason started.
Or, yeah, or you can push back the portal till after the spring. And then you transfer at the end of the spring semester and keep things as is. It's just that the portal doesn't open in January. That's the problem.
It's like when Phil Mickelson exposed the PGA Tour for all the flaws that they have, but the way he said it and went about it and saying, like, I'll do business with do business with anybody to expose the PGA. And that's kind of like when he was launching off the announcements of the Live Golf, mm-hmm, which, you know, like, what he's done for golf is both positive and negative. You know, you've split up the best players in the world, which sucks. The fan loses out every single time when the best players aren't playing the best players week in and week out during the season. But at the same time, like, he exposed a lot of fraud and a lot of stupidity, and that's what Lane Kiffin did with college football. College football has got to be ashamed of themselves and completely embarrassed. People should be fired. People should lose their job. But that, like, no one, I don't, like, who's going to lose their job and who's going to be fired? Who's in charge? Who's making the calendar? There's no leadership. They want the NCAA is so desperate to be around and to be involved, they could be dismantled right away. All the schools make their own scheduling. The NCAA doesn't do that. The NCAA doesn't enforce any rules. The NIL rules are a damn joke. You're just getting straight up paid to play. There's no contracts involved. It's not actually about name, image, and likeness. It's about, we want you, so here's a whole bunch of money. That's not what it's supposed to be about. There should be regulations on that. It shouldn't be a complete anarchy. And then the transfer rules are a joke. You can just leave at any time, at any given moment, as many times as you want, play anywhere, all the time. Yes, I think that there needs to be some NIL money, of course. I think that transferring is part of a player's career, and if you're in a bad situation, you should be able to get out of it. But not unlimited amount of times. Not always. Not forever. I mean, come on. But the NCAA, it's like a parent. It's like the cool parent. They want to be liked. They want to be loved. They want to be involved. And they think the way to do that is to say yes to everything. And I don't even know that the NCAA says no, that the schools are bound to that. I don't think they have that governmental authority.
Or they say no, they get sued and lose the court case.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what everything why they can't make any rules, is that they just get sued and then lose the court case because the court's like, well, you can't tell what these people who aren't employees what to do.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, again, it's the parents saying, yeah, you can drink when you're 10. Yeah, you can have parties. Yeah, you can stay up late. You can eat whatever. You can have cake for breakfast. Like, that's not the way to parent. That's not good parenting. Saying yes to everything isn't good parenting. Saying yes to all the NIL and all the transfer, they just are so desperate to be around and be involved and not to be, you know, dissipated in the next X amount of years. They think the answer is saying yes. What you're doing is, if your child is NCAA football and NCAA basketball, you're doing your child a disservice. You're doing it. The fans lose out. This is all bad for the fans, for the schools, for the coaches. Not everyone's being disserviced the same amount. Like, not everyone's disenfranchised the same, but no one's being put in a position to succeed. And that's what sucks about all of this. And I don't know. Everyone says, all right, it's got to be fixed. All right, but by who?
Yeah, that's the thing with you saying people are going to lose their jobs over this. Like, whose desk does this fall on?
Yeah.
You know, like, if the Texans, you know, bringing a local example, if the Texans offense falls apart the last five games of the season, guess who's going to get fired? Nick Caley's going to get fired. Like, if the Texans defense falls apart after, you know, year after year, guess what? Matt Burke's going to lose defensive coordinator duties. Like, that's just what's going to happen. Yep. There's no, like, hey, this Lane Kiffin thing was super embarrassing for everyone involved.
Let's hope it doesn't happen again.
NCAA president, this is on you. It's like, no, it's kind of out of his hands. And, there's no one where the buck stops.
Like, if Ole Miss, which they did, said, no, pound sand, you're not going to coach our team. Like, they had kind of – they were put in a situation a little bit by Lane Kiffin, but mostly by the NCAA or whoever creates the calendar, is that they have to sit there and say, sorry – but we're not going to let you coach our team and recruit against our team at the same time. Yeah. Like, we're not going to allow you to do that. As if Ole Miss is the bad guy. They're not the bad guy. Lane put them in that position, as did the powers that be, the cloud.
Yeah, the ecosystem.
Yeah, like, which is crazy to think that – who the hell do you look at? Who the hell is the – who's in charge of all of this? It's so bad. It's so sad. It's pathetic. Yeah. For something so major, so impactful in society – with so much money around. This isn't intramurals. This isn't like going over to Houston trying to play pickleball and be like, hey, who's putting the schedule together and no one knows? This is college football, multi-billion dollars. We don't know. No one's out here explaining the calendar as to why it is. No one's answering for this horse crap. Almost did it. Didn't do it. Good for me. Do you have your finger ready for the dump?
I'm always ready. I'm always ready.
Golly. What's your time? Like, how long do you have to hit that dump button?
I have 8 seconds.
8 seconds. All right, cool. So I can, has anyone ever said one just to say it to see if you can dump them?
Yes, that was a running bit with Paul Gallant, is that every once in a while, like, when something really explosive would happen, he would just be like, you know what, F this. And then.
Oh, he would drop the F?
Yeah.
And no!
He would be like, Sean, I'm about to say it. And then say it.
Bro, I would after, be way like, too scared to say it.
I know.
It especially was the F.
The
F is like, hey, probably last day on air, bud.
Yeah, we definitely overdid that bit, I would say. Like, Todd actually did have to have a conversation with us about doing it too often.
That's a funny bit, but maybe I'm just soft and weak. Maybe I'm that guy. But man, F, I would do S. I won't now. I don't want to take Paul's bit.
No.
But now he's on TikTok and he's doing his own show. Paul Gallant says,
"Cursing like a sailor." Boy. Yeah,
he can say, "Oh boy, he's got a mouth of a sailor."
He does.
He's got a naughty mouth. I had one more point of this Lane Kiffin deal, and I can't remember exactly what it was. But the point is, it sucks for everybody involved, and it's really sad and it's really pathetic that the multi-billion-dollar industry is where we are. Chiefs, Texans. Sunday night football, a hornet's nest of a situation for the Texans. How they can win this game. Let's take a look at this defense against their offense and vice versa. Coming back here on the Dell Show, Will Kunkel filling in. Find me on YouTube, Kicking It with Kunkel. Subscribe to the channel. And if we have time, who are the best coaches in Houston? Someone asked. Rank your best coaches in Houston. Right after the break, we'll do that. See ya.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Dell Olalea Show.
I have no idea.
This is Kiss.
Oh, it's Kiss?
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Del LA Show. Will Kunkel filling in, host of Kicking It with Kunkel on YouTube. Shout out to my man Klamis becoming a member of the show, sending a gift on the show as we are live on the show as well. We are streaming all morning long, as in the next 20 minutes. Let's talk about this Chiefs game. I think the Chiefs' demise is much overhyped right now. I know they are nowhere near where they usually are, and I think that's part of it because you have expectations, and when those expectations aren't met, it feels like you're falling significantly short. They're 6-6, so definitely not what you want. They are still in the hunt on the graphic, but again, that's not what they want. That's not what they expect. They have lost 3 of their last 4 games. Definitely not what you want. But man, they are in a situation where their backs are up against the wall, as they were last week. So I don't know how much we can play that card again because their backs were against the wall last week against the Cowboys. But that was on the road during that was a Thursday night game in a raucous atmosphere. The Cowboys are really good. And I've said the Cowboys are really good. I have maintained that all year long that they were. I didn't say that they were really good all year long. I said that they could beat anybody at any given time because that offense is so powerful. Now their defense is starting to play a lot better, and the trade for Quinnen Williams kind of changes everything up front. That's how you build defenses, inside out, front to back. But the Chiefs, in their losses, every single loss of their season, all 6 of them have all been by one possession. They lost by 6 to the Chargers in Week 1, 3 to the Eagles in Week 2. In Week 5 against the Jaguars, they lost by 3. And then against the Bills in Buffalo, they lost by 7. Against the Broncos, after a bye week in Denver, they lost by 3. And then last week, they lost by 3 again in Dallas. So they're losing. Out of their 3 losses of their last 4 games, they have all been on the road in Buffalo, Denver, and Dallas. Arguably 3 of the better teams in the NFL. At least 2 of those might be the 2 best teams in the NFL, with Buffalo and Denver. On the road, losing by 3. They are not getting blown out. They're not a joke. They're not an embarrassment. They have a tough, tough schedule. This is what happens when you play a first-place schedule. This is what the Texans are dealing with right now. They have had a tough schedule. Now, they have a little bit of an easier schedule compared to the Colts the rest of the way, but the Chiefs now have the Texans, Chargers, Titans, Broncos again, and then the Raiders. Raiders stink. Raiders are a mess. That whole Chip Kelly thing is crazy if you actually read about that. Never maybe even calling his plays or intentionally sabotaging the offense. Like, what a weird Raiders Chip Kelly type of story. But I do not like this situation. I don't mind the matchup. I like the matchup for the Texans and Chiefs. I think the Texans certainly can beat the Chiefs. If the game was here, I would certainly feel a lot more comfortable. If it was in Kansas City on Sunday at noon, I'd feel a lot more comfortable. I do not like the idea of going to Kansas City as they are losers of 3-4 on primetime Sunday night football. I just don't like that situation. And the weather on Sunday in Kansas City is going to be possibly rainy and about probably 28, 29 degrees. Is that what we want?
No. No, I'll speak for myself. No. And also, I'll speak for Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce had a post on Instagram that I saw got screenshotted where it was just the weather app in Kansas City, and it was just basically like, oh, hell nah. Where it's like 22 degrees.
Damian Pierce did?
Yeah. He's on the Chiefs.
He got picked up by the Chiefs. I was about to say he's with the Chiefs now. I see.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have included. Yeah, he got picked up by the Chiefs.
Like, that makes sense.
He took a picture of the Kansas City weather. And said,
well, he can't be posting that as a member of the Chiefs, though. It's like, that's why I was like, wait, I thought he was with the Chiefs. You can't be the home team and, you know, your advantage is outdoor, Arrowhead, cold. That's who we are. That's what we do. And be like, oh, hell no.
I mean,
bro, you got to change the mindset. I know you've played the last, 3 years in Houston indoors.
Yeah, and played in Florida before that. But yeah.
You got to embrace the suck now.
Yeah. Also, you know, Damian Pierce, glad he got picked up. Might be able to wear the jacket for the whole game. You might be able to be wearing the jacket the entire game. That just, you know, I don't know how often he's going to have to take the jacket off.
All right. We talked about this. Where does D'Amico Ryans rank in Houston's coaching hierarchy. Joe Espada, D'Amico Ryans, Ime Udoka, and Kelvin Sampson. The number one for me is clear-cut. It's Kelvin Sampson. I think he's by far the best coach, if not the best coach in all of college sports, of just coach in general. I think you have to do a lot more at the college level than you do at the professional level when it comes to evaluating and recruiting. And now he's starting to get four or five star recruits, you know, top recruits, the best recruits in the country. It's going to be scary to see what he does. I think after that is Ime Udoka. I think what Ime does in instilling his culture and his identity and who he is and what he wants the Rockets to be is nothing short of impressive, especially in 2025 in the NBA, where nobody wants to play defense, where nobody wants to be held accountable. Nobody wants to sit on the bench in crunch time because they're not performing and playing within the system, being asked to do what they are asked to do by your head coach. And Ime Udoka does that regularly. He did that with Jalen Green a couple times last year. Like, bro, you're going to sit next to me if you're not playing well, if you're not producing. And I love that about Ime Udoka, and he's super honest at the podium, and there's nothing he says at the podium that he doesn't say to his players. He's just very open and honest, and I like that and respect it, and he does it in a way that is like acceptable from his players. He doesn't throw anybody under the bus. And then I think it's D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans, what he's done in the city of Houston for this Texans organization is fantastic. I mean, listen, every ownership group is always two or three hires away from turning around their legacy, no matter where you are. You know, the McNairs were obviously up against it. They were not exactly beloved in the city of Houston during the Jack Easterby, Bill O'Brien at times, Lovie Smith eras. They were not beloved. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, luck or due diligence, whatever it might be, the Nick Caserio hire, bingo, at least bingo-ish at points. He's helped rebuild it. Let's not act like he hasn't helped rebuild the
overall
Texans.
Positive.
Yes.
Overall positive.
Let's not play this game where we throw everything away because right now the offensive line isn't what you want it to be. But I think some of that noise might quiet down quite a bit because they're starting to play a little bit better. So you hire Nick Caserio as your general manager. Then you get your right head coach with D'Amico Ryans. And then you get your quarterback. So general manager, head coach, quarterback. That turns around an entire franchise and it makes ownership look like geniuses. Whether they have anything to do with it and how much they were involved, you know, I don't know. I don't really care necessarily. The best owners stay out of the way. The best owners sign checks and stay hell out of the way, especially when it comes to football decisions. I don't want to hear my owners get involved in football decisions. Robert Kraft ain't doing it, but he's now got his guys, which, by the way, how stupid are the Tennessee Titans? You had arguably the best coach in the NFL in Mike Vrabel. What he did there was so little, and you fired him. Not you agreed to part ways, not it had run its course. You fired Mike Vrabel like a bunch of dumbasses, and now he's back where he performed his entire career, where he's one of the best linebackers in the NFL. Where is he in the Ring of Honor? I assume that he is.
Oh, I forgot if he. I know he went to a Ring of Honor thing, and that apparently annoyed Amy Adams.
Wait, say that again.
He went to a Ring of Honor like event in New England as the Titans coach, and apparently that pissed off Amy Adams.
Yes, that was for Tom, I think.
Okay,
I think he spoke on Tom's behalf. I think. If it wasn't
that makes
for him.
Sense. That the timing seems.
Surely good. The Patriots wouldn't honor the head coach during the season of another team, right?
No.
Right. They'd figure out maybe another way to do it, but I think he was. But you know, he had time when he was with Ohio State where he may have gotten into the Ring of Honor. DeRino on Kicking with Kunkel says the best owners don't stand on the sidelines with headsets on. What's your take? I actually have no problem with that, as long as you're not influencing the game and you've talked to your coaching staff about you being aware of what's happening and not being involved per se, but having knowledge. I actually don't have much of a problem with it. I know it goes against kind of the grain of what's been happening. I don't hate it. Just sit there with your mouth shut, but your ears open. Because what if when it does come, like the owners do have to make decisions. The owners do have to know some sort of football about what's happening in their building. Like, for instance, last year, D'Amico Ryans wasn't fully aware, even as the head coach, that the things with like Gerard Johnson and Bobby Slowick, the things on the offensive side of the ball with Bobby Slowick got so bad. He didn't even know that. And so he was furious when he had a meeting with Gerard Johnson that Gerard Johnson never really told him what it was. That's coming from a source that told me inside the building that that got a little squirrely at times and got a little heated. I don't have a problem with the owner of the Colts. What's her name? Mrs. Irsay.
I forgot one name? Of the daughter's names. Just a little bit of cleanup. Mike Vrabel in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Okay, bingo. Yeah, I don't have a problem down there because if she were to fire Shane Steichen or make a decision, as she has the right to, it's her team, I think you want to do it with as much knowledge as humanly possible.
Carly Irsay Gordon.
Carly, that's right. So I don't have a problem, but don't be calling in plays. Don't be changing defenses. Don't be coming up with suggestions. You know, it's funny. I got a buddy that's a comedian, and I once like came up with an idea, and he liked it. And I was like, oh, cool. That's awesome. And then I submitted another idea to him. He's like, you want me to do that? It's like, all right, you're the comedian. I'll let you be that guy. I'll just be on the sidelines watching.
It's playing basketball. See the first three-pointer go in. You're like, oh, I'm hot tonight.
Yeah, this is me, baby.
Yeah, but I think it's huge for Carly Irsay Gordon to never be caught with the microphone down on the headset. Always has to be up.
Yes.
Microphone or always has to be up.
Just remove the damn thing.
Yeah,
take
right?
the microphone off the headset.
You'll see, like, the players, you know, the backup quarterback or whatever will have just, like, the earpiece in, like, where it looks like just headphones. In, I think maybe you throw that one on. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't have like a specific problem with it.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe like, it's partially because it's Carly Irsay Gordon. She's
so
done this, you know?
Yeah, I think because she's not in the media making an ass out of herself a certain owner in Dallas.
I was going to say, if Jerry Jones did this, I think I'd be more negative.
Oh, my. If Jerry Jones has his ass on the sideline with a headset on, I'm losing my mind.
If he has a headset on in the box, I'm losing my mind.
Hard no. And why? Why would I lose my mind? Because he has a history. One, he's the GM. So he actually, does make football moves. That's his job as general manager. And he has a history of saying, my job is to stir things up, to make the Cowboys front page news as a businessman. He's an elite businessman. Now, maybe I think it was right to get rid of and trade Michael Parsons, or as he says, Michael Parsons. I think that was the right move. I don't think he got nearly enough back in return. That's a different conversation. But the reason I would have a problem with him with the headset on and not Carly Irsay is because she doesn't have a history of putting her nose where it doesn't not belong. She's the owner, so I want to be, you know, proper and respectful that as an owner, you have the right to do whatever the hell you want. That is your team. You can do whatever you want. But I don't think you should as an owner. I think having knowledge and educating yourself is great. Do that. But Jerry Jones isn't that guy. Jerry Jones isn't the strong, silent type.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones is the loud, verbose, be heard, this is what I got to say type. Which is, like, do you, but don't get involved. Do not put that damn headset on, Jerry. Hard no.
It's because it seems realistic. Like, he's a habitual line stepper. You know, like, he there is a line. Like you said, you're on the team. You have the right to do kind of whatever you want. But there is, a right way of doing it. And he gets over the line of, like, this is kind of the wrong way of doing things.
You don't want to be a detriment to your team.
Yeah.
Her listening is not a detriment to the team. Jerry Jones listening, albeit maybe in and of itself, not a detriment to the team if he's listening. But here's the problem. That dude will play with fire. That dude is a habitual line stepper. He will get involved. And if he doesn't, you're sure as hell nervous as a head coach that he will get involved. Shane Steichen probably has no concern or issues, I assume, with her being on the headset because she's never really gotten involved. That we know of.
Yeah, it's, you know, part of it is what Jerry Jones will do with the information that he gets. You know, it's all about gathering information. It's like, I don't trust Jerry Jones with this information.
It's another reason why this Lane Kiffin saga is so magnified. It's because it's Lane Kiffin. It's because the programs that are involved. It's LSU. It's Ole Miss. It's in the NCAA tournament. Lane Kiffin has a history of exits, getting fired on the tarmac, burning down Tennessee when he left. Leaving out, you know, getting fired from Alabama, going to FAU, then going to Ole Miss. No reason, no problem going to FAU to Ole Miss. But the way he does it, it's always so dramatic. It's always, look at me, 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 me. It's always an issue. That's all. That's why. All right, Will Kunkel filling in for Dell here on his show this week. I'll be in tomorrow from 10 to noon as well. I appreciate everybody that called in, chimed in, texted in. I appreciate all the listeners today. Tomorrow, let's get into some things. Let's get weird. Find me, Will Kunkel, on all the Instagram, X, and TikTok accounts. And then, of course, subscribe to my channel, Kicking It with Kunkel, on YouTube. Rich Eisen coming up next. Peace, y'all.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.